Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. If you have your Bible, it's going to be two by two. I'm going to read out of two different places, both from the second chapter, in just a couple of verses. So the first place I'd like for you to look is Matthew. So I'm going to make it really easy. Start with the first book in the New Testament. That's Matthew. And it's going to be, as I said, chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Anybody want to take a wild guess what the second book will be? Luke! Y'all are brilliant. Y'all must have read my sermon notes or something. But in Matthew chapter 2, Matthew 2:11, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin with verse 9, and read these familiar words that you're so used to hearing at Christmas time. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." But she gets to pick and choose on that gift. Is it better to give than to receive? Do you think so? In our world today, some people absolutely think the opposite. They think this world revolves around them and they deserve and are entitled to everything. They just go ahead and give it to me. It's mine after all. But I promise you, from what the Scripture teaches and the way you live your life for Christ, you'll find out that it is better to give than it is to receive. Because what you give could actually have eternal rewards tagged to it. That God says He's going to bless you in heaven because of things that you've given to others. And let's face it, He gave us the greatest gift of all, didn't He? He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of joy and a lot of fun in choosing the right gift. For somebody who, you know, got special likes, dislikes, special interests, special hobbies, whatever, and you just want to kind of cater to help them and give them something they would enjoy. So it's always fun to kind of choose just the right thing and carefully. So it could be in their interest or in their lifestyle, and you want to give somebody, you want them to receive something that you're giving, and that's always fun. When we look at the Scripture, the wise men, it tells us the wise men brought some special gifts. Now, I do want you to understand something. We have too many traditions around Christmas. Amen? And I don't know if it was the card developers, the callers, whoever, but they just lumped everything in Christmas together. And I just go ahead and tell you, like I told you before, the shepherds and wise men never met. And yet, we see them together, we find them on the cards because they just do that out of convenience sake, and they want to have, you know, every part of the Christmas story. Except there happened to be several days between Jesus being a babe in a manger, in a trough, a feed trough for cows, to the time that when these wise men came, it says they came to a house where the Jesus child was with Mary. And if you're a biblical scholar who likes to study the words, you will find that those are two different words in the Bible of being a babe in a manger and a child in a house. And so some people get mad about that. Say, you're messing with my scene. You're messing with what I believe in. Let me tell you what, it's far better to worship God for who He is than just to follow silly traditions. Amen? But so that's what took place. In these two places, we see where the shepherds were visited on the night that Jesus was born. And we see the wise men that came and visited to find Christ. They'd been looking for him for 2 years. So they found him. And the three gifts, you can tell me what they are. What were they? Pepsi and pizza and what else? Is everything Jesus wanted? No. They gave him odd gifts that seem odd to us. Why would you give him gold? Why would you give him frankincense? Why would you give him myrrh? Because those three gifts happen to be the ones God chose, not the wise men. And he chose them for a couple of reasons. One, symbolically, and second, prophetically. Because each one of those things, as valuable as they were, represented something to the world that gives us an understanding of who Jesus is. And so what were the gifts again? All right. And I love the first grader says, he got Frankenstein. The monster was at the manger, you know? No. Gold. Gold is valuable. It's an incorruptible metal. It has always been associated with the element of royalty. The rich have the gold. What's the golden rule? No, he who has the gold rules. Gold is connected with kings, with royalty, frankincense. Frankincense is a resin. Very high-end, tedious extraction process to get the resin. Frankincense was actually used in worship services where it was burnt as an incense or smell that often was attributed to lifting smoke up that would lift prayers up. One summer vacationing in New Jersey, you know, at a park, I met a young lady and I started telling her about Christ. And I said, would you like to pray? And she said, no, we can't pray. I said, why not? We don't have any candles lit. I said, what do you mean? And you know, some people have a habit of feeling like they have a lighted candle. And the symbolic gesture is that to be lifted up. But when you go back to the Old Testament, we had a description of what took place in the tabernacle when they came to worship, and they lit things for a sweet smelling aroma. And that was to be lifted up for God. Not to lift up prayers, not to magically, you know, be whisked away on the smoke of that. But if you could go over to Russia, where I've been, and go into Greek Orthodox Church, the roofs are as black as that speaker where the candles burn. Because right up there, the smoke just keeps going, and it always discolors the roof, so you can tell where the candles are, because that's where they're burning them. And it's still a practice today. So this was burned by the priest because it was an aroma before God to praise and to worship him. And myrrh is another spice, and myrrh was used in embalming. Now you say, well, that's kind of strange because most Jewish people didn't believe, and still today don't believe in embalming and want to be buried natural. But there were people back there who didn't have that persuasion. And this particular spice was extremely costly, and it was myrrh. So we have representing the royalty, or the king, representing the priest who offered up this smell, and then representing the last of which is the myrrh, represents him as one who would die for us. And so he was our Savior. So these three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh represented symbolically and prophetically who Jesus Christ would be, that he would be king, priest, and Savior. And those match. He said, did you take a long time to figure that out? No, somebody thought about this long before I came along, because it's in the Bible. And it's used just for that reason, for us to understand that this baby that was born would be the king, he would be high priest, and he would be our Savior in saving our lives. So we see the latter part of the visit of the Magi as they come and find Jesus, the child, at the house with his mother Mary. But in the inception of all things, the beginning of all things, is when Jesus came to Bethlehem by his parents, and he was born in the inn, born in the stable. And you know, we got all kinds of pictures of that, looking like this. It's amazing how Hollywood has portrayed what it looks like. And then you go back to historians, but regardless of what it was, it's where they kept the animals. Whether it, you know, we see a little barn thing up on a hill somewhere, but it was most likely connected to a house, to living quarters. And it was probably at the lower part of that house, and the second story where the humans lived, and the bottom floor where the animals lived. And since Bethlehem was filled up with people because of the census, they couldn't find a place to stay. And so, no place upstairs, you can have downstairs and hang out with the animals. And that's where Jesus was born. Aren't you glad he was born there instead of the palace? Because the shepherds would have not been invited. And so we see the night of his birth is a glimpse of heaven. And again, the verses say the angel of the Lord stood before them. And he's talking about standing before the shepherds. These guys who worked hard, these were shepherds. Guess what they did? Generation after generation after generation, day after day after day, they took care of sheep. That's what they did. Were they celebrities? No. Were they considered to be important? No. They were just shepherds. That's what they were. But you could imagine how monotonous their day would be and what their day felt like. But for the most part, shepherds were taken for granted. We have workers today, same thing, are taken for granted. These shepherds were ordinary, work hard, day-to-day guys. And it happened to be that God supernaturally spoke to them. Could you imagine? Could you imagine what that had been like? He spoke to these men. Guess what was their first reaction? Scared to death. The Bible uses the word terrified in one of its translations. They were terrified. Have you ever been terrified? You probably can remember when you were a child, you know, the boogeyman was going to get you, or you're going to be, you know, something's going to come after you, or there's a monster in the closet or under the bed. You might remember when you were just absolutely terrified and you needed mom and dad. The little boy comes and says, "Dad, I'm scared. I'm afraid. There's a monster in my bed." His dad said, "Son, you go back in that room and you pray to God, and God will take the monster away." The little boy said, "Yeah, but Daddy, tonight I want a God in flesh. I want a God in flesh." He wanted his dad to be in there because he was scared to death. The shepherds were terrified. That was their first reaction. Even though the angel came and assured them, there's no reason for you to be afraid because what we've come with is glad tidings. We've come to tell you good news. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be terrified. We've come to bring you, their term, great joy. There's no reason for you to be afraid. Well, they came around. They got past that fear. God spoke to them. They were absolutely astonished. It went from being terrified to being astonished because they heard the announcement of a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, we don't know what to assume about these shepherds, what their nationality was, what their religion was, what their practices were. It could have been a mix of people. Could have been Jews and the lot. Others spoke different languages. It's just, we're not really 100% sure what they believed in. But guess what? When they heard about the Savior who is Christ, they paid attention because the sky was filled and they were astonished. And the angel said, "This is for all people." Nobody is excluded from hearing about Jesus Christ. Nobody will be turned away from the kingdom of heaven who calls upon the name of Christ and asks for repentance of their sins, turn completely around, and become a person more like Christ than the rest of this world. So their fear turned into joy, astonishment. They were invited to be the witness to this child. It's like saying, you know, you see all this in the sky and there's no way you can escape it. I mean, who are you going to be able to explain this to? Who's going to believe you? Your mother said, you got to drink too much of that stuff out there. You're seeing things collectively. No. The angel gave him instructions and said, go see the baby. You want proof of what I'm telling you? The angel said, go down there in Bethlehem. You're going to find a manger, and you're going to find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and you know that it's going to be the truth. Because you know why? That wasn't an everyday event. You just didn't walk up and down the streets of Bethlehem and see a baby in the feed trough for the cow. Amen? So, man, if we see that, we know that these angels, who would think that that was all fake? Who would think that that wasn't real? And some people were still looking for a sign. They say, oh, God, if you could give me a sign, everything would be different. Listen, it shouldn't make any whatsoever, because if God's Holy Spirit comes upon you, you don't need a visible sign. You just need to say yes when he calls. It's like in that poem that says, if you just sit still, you'll find out I'm whispering your name. I want you. I want you to be part of my kingdom. I want you to have a peace that passes all human understanding. And this is for all people. It's not exclusive. It involves anybody. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Set free. Made new. Whatever term you want to give it, he came to do that just for us. So these shepherds that night got a glimpse of heaven. And let me tell you, brother, sister, let me tell you, guy, gal, listen, when you get a glimpse of heaven, there is no going back. Amen? When you taste of the thing, there is no going back. And it seems as though this was a multitude of angels. And there we go with traditions. What do we see in the cards? Cherubs. Creatures that look like women with wings. There's no indication anywhere on any page of the scriptures from Genesis or Revelation that would indicate that there was a feminine side to angels. In fact, it's just the opposite. They're referred to in the masculine tense. And so while we got this idea that we got these angels, our pretty angels, and we call children, oh, you're such an angel, when you're really thinking you're a devil. But it was probably looked like the gender of man. Man, what a choir that would be. You ever heard of all male choir? It's amazing. Regardless, this was a heavenly choir. A multitude of angels came and giving praise. And so these shepherds, these simple plain shepherds, were able to get a glimpse of heaven. They were able to worship God Almighty, the creator of this universe, and spoke all things in existence and planned all things. And they got to worship him, they got to see his splendor, and it was absolutely breathtaking. Wouldn't have you liked to have been there? Everybody's tried to recreate it, but there's no way to recreate that event in history. You can portray it, but you can't repeat it, because it happened only once. And Jesus came to this world for all people. So we come and we celebrate Christmas, this season. And I want to tell you what you can do. You can experience a glimpse of heaven if you want to. And how can you do that? How can we do this ourselves? How can we see heaven? Well, the first thing is, we make a decision that we're going to praise God. We just flat out decide we're going to praise God no matter what. We're going to lift up his holy name. We're going to pray to him. Because you know what he does? He gives our life meaning. He gives us a reason to live. He gives us a joy. He points us to the Heavenly Father. And he says, you will, if you follow me, if you choose me, you praise me, you will spend eternity with me in heaven. And I sure don't want to suggest what the scripture teaches, but there is an alternative. There is another side. To this coin is, you can fall under the wrath and the judgment of God because you refused him. That's like when somebody comes knocking at your door, you got to decide whether or not you're going to answer the door. It tells us in the scripture, I stand at the door and knock, and if anybody hears my knock and opens that door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he will sup with me. Isn't it great when we sit down and have a meal together? That's what he's saying. That's the kind of fellowship. We could have that. It would give us complete joy in following him. In this song, this changes our perspective. We grow up with little kids, we go to Santa for our gifts. When we grow up, we better go to God. Santa can't deliver, but God can give us everything. And as I sing this song and you hear these words, I'm not even sure who the credit who wrote this song. I'll probably go Google it on the internet and find out. But what does it say? What does it offer here? What's no more lives torn apart? Is your life torn up? Would you like to change that? Wars that wouldn't start. A time, heal our hearts. Everybody would have a friend. Right would always win. Love would never end. This is my grown-up Christmas list. What do you want for Christmas? What do you want? Some people say, world peace. Forget it. Ain't going to happen. Jesus came. People didn't listen. We will never know peace on this earth until he comes again. But I want world peace. Forget it. You're not going to get it. But what you can have is eternal, individual peace. A peace that he says passes all human understanding. Like, I don't get it. I don't know why my life is all, you know, haywire and crazy. Well, change your perspective. Change your wish list. And if you notice, the singer says something like this. This is not a wish list for myself. It's for a world in need. See, we got to change our perspective. And we got to look for these things. And then these things can be answered. And we can come and meet the King, the High Priest, and the Savior. And get all the gifts that he has for us. Because he will begin by giving us a glimpse of his wonderful heaven. You want that? Is it better to give than it is to receive? God has given you something through his Son, Jesus Christ, that you can receive. And it's peace. It's everlasting. It's a joy that fills you that you can't even explain. And he'll give that all to you. And he's already paid the price because he went to the cross. He was born to die. He did. Rose again, waiting in heaven. One day, promising he's going to come back. And as I look at the agenda and listen and look to prophecy, he could come on his birthday. He could come today. Wouldn't that be something? Then this church would really be empty, wouldn't it? Yeah. It really be empty. You know about that? Now, I'm hoping you'd all go there. I'm hoping nobody would be striving behind her and say, man, where'd Knight and that gang go? Where'd they go? What happened to them? Oh, my gosh, I blew it. Well, don't blow it. Don't miss this opportunity. On this wonderful day of Christmas, maybe there's something you want to give to the Lord. I mean, is it even on your Christmas list? Or is your list just for yourself? So think of the words of the song, think of the wonderful words of the scripture, all the events that we just looked at in his word. Go back and read them again. And truly have a wonderfully, tremendously blessed Merry Christmas. It's not over. And today you could be involved with the greatest gift by giving your life to Jesus completely and wholly. Or you might just say, I'm a little bit messed up, preach. I need to change some things. I need to find some forgiveness. My perspective on things, I shouldn't think like a child. I'm grown up. I need to have the same list for that. So, during this invitation, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, give yourself to him, the ultimate gift, which is your life. And you'll get the manifold investment back in your life if you just do it. Like I said, you might say, well, I'm waiting for New Year's for my resolutions. Then I'm going to change. Well, don't wait another week. Do it today. I'm going to change in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You know our needs. You know everything that we need. And more than anything, we need you. We need the peace that you can give. And so we thank you that every time this year we look up, look around, we pay attention, we hear about a man named Christ, and it causes us to rethink, reconsider, to be wonderfully thankful for all you've done for us. Lord, hear our prayers today as we come to the altar and pray, as we lift up our needs, Lord, and just allow your Holy Spirit to deal with every single person in this place. And if there's a need for salvation, let it be so. A need for forgiveness, let it be so. A need for answered prayer, let it be so. We thank you, Father, for this town. And it's in your wonderful name we pray. Amen.